All right. Welcome back. Why don't we go ahead and open in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this second session that we have today. Thank you for the word. I ask that we can receive the things in a humble and willing way, and just thank you for the opportunity to serve. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, welcome back. Here we are to James 4:7, and remember, this is the beginning of our quick start guide to humility, and that's why I like it. If I can use a quick start, I'll use it. And if I need to go to the detail version, I'll go to it. But this is good to get us started. And the reality is it's really a detailed version. But you know how God's Word is. It has so many, it produces application out of it to where if it wasn't detailed when you read it at first, it will be by the time we get done with it. So that's a good thing. But anyways, verse 7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I think we covered submit to God and what that looks like. And I did mention before we left that these are definitely ordered of order of importance here. Without submitting to God, there is no way we are able to resist the devil. And so that's an important thing to keep in mind. And we can't expect to either, because without discernment, we can't do that. So number one, the first command is submit to God. And the second command here is to resist. Resist. This is a good word. It means the word is antihistamy. Of course, it's a verb, so it's something you actually have to do. Remember, it's a command. It means to set oneself against, even to be in opposition to, or I like this one, to be resistant to power. To be resistant to power. You can probably already see the problem here. These believers have chosen to be a friend of the world, and James is commanding them to resist the devil here. Well, they're actually being a friend of the devil at the moment. They're in his world. They're enjoying his realm. And now he's showing them how not to do that. But you can see where submitting must come first in order to be able to oppose. I mean, if you don't know what to oppose, how are you going to oppose it? I mean, Satan works through subtlety and distraction. And if we don't see that we're being distracted, the better off Satan is in distracting us. So if we don't recognize his lies and his deception, how are we going to resist them? We can't. We can't do it. And that's the point here is resistance comes through knowledge of God's wisdom and through his word. We have to know, have the discernment to see what Satan's doing. Remember, Satan is the scripture describes Satan as the God of this world, lowercase g. So if we don't submit to God, guess who you're submitting to by default? Satan. I mean, unfortunately, that's what we are dealing with here. Two desires, and if you don't submit to the desire of the Spirit, you're submitting to the desire of the sin nature, which means no resistance. That's a part of the spiritual discernment part. Remember, that comes from God's wisdom, not the worldly wisdom. Too many people are enamored with the world and what the world has given them or put them in a position for, and they've been deceived. And so what do they keep doing? Depending on the world. Dependence on the world. prioritizing the things in the world and not on God. And so now you have, instead of what the word means, to set oneself against the devil, they're actually working with him. Working with him, side by side. Although they don't know that, but that's the reality of what happens. That's what we're dealing with. We need to recognize, which come from submitting. Let me read you Ephesians 6, because I think this is a good verse to enter into the conversation right now. If we're talking about the devil and Satan, let's bring in Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, and I'll tell you right off the bat, if you're going to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, you've got to have the full armor of God on. So when there's no submitting to God, not only do you not put the armor of God on, you set it aside, you choose to be absolutely and totally vulnerable to Satan's opposition in your own personal life. God, remember, God provided us with everything we need. Starting from your salvation and moving forward after that point, here is the armor of God, and we're not studying these passages, but it is a detailed explanation of what is all associated with the armor and how we as believers have access and have these available at our fingertips that God gives us. But guess what? It comes through submitting. Submitting. It comes through choosing the right uniform instead of your fleshly uniform that we so quickly go to. You know, we can do this. I got it in my power. I have it in my knowledge. I need to know everything so I can accomplish something in the world. That's what the world tells you. That's what the flesh will tell you. But the reality is we will fall flat on our face and also at the same time be left vulnerable with no armor, no protection. We're, you know, friends with the world. So on the flip side of this, you can see the problem when we don't submit to God's authority. When we don't place His will over our will. All this goes together, doesn't it? Satan cannot gain a foothold or gain a foothold. He cannot gain a foothold when the believer is in fellowship with God. When you're submitting to God on a daily walk basis, Satan can't gain a foothold. Actually, it goes much farther than that, doesn't it? Because when we are doing this, we are in opposition. We have set ourselves against Satan. That's what the word resist said. When we are operating under God's ways, God's will, you automatically are thinking in a way where you are playing offense against Satan. You have set yourself oppositionally against him in your soul. 1 Peter 5:8 actually calls this a sober spirit. Look this. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. There's what he's doing. You ever wonder what Satan's doing? He's just looking for trouble is what he's doing. And he's not just out at 2:30 a.m. He's out all the time. All the time. It says, but here's the contrast. Resist him. Resist him. By the way, I underline the two commands in this verse of what we are to do. Make a decision to do. It says, but resist him firm in your faith. See that part? Don't miss that part. Knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brothers in Christ who are in the world. We're all going through the same thing. In other words, we're all going through the same thing. A few things to note about this word spirit. The word spirit is actually not in the Greek here. That's what I did. No, it's not. It's okay. When you understand, you'll understand why the translators added it in when you understand what this word sober means. The word sober in the New Testament is used figuratively to mean being free from every form of mental and spiritual drunkenness. We're using it in a figurative way. In other words, the sin nature is what blurs our vision in a inebriated kind of way. I mean, that's why the word sober is here. What is clouding our vision? Well, certainly the sin nature does that, because we are deceived by the sin nature and therefore we're not thinking correctly, right? So when you see sober spirit, makes sense. We're talking about a spiritual soberness. Spiritual soberness. As you know, we can be not only blinded by the sin nature, but we can be numbed up by the sin nature. It's a state, right? It's a way of living, and sometimes we keep moving in that direction because our spirit is not sober, per se. It's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. So that's what the thing is deception here makes us spiritually drunk. The sin nature is what does this, right? So the last thing you want to do when you think about Ephesians 6, where the battle is, the last thing you want to do is have judgment that is impaired. I'll tell you, that is the worst thing that we want when we think of Satan, we think of our sin natures in the world, and when we think of God and the right direction we're supposed to go. The last thing you want to do is be impaired by anything. And we definitely have the ability to do that. And see what the thing about it is? What it gives you? Alertness. Alertness. You can see, you can know, and you can make a move or an action, a decision based on that knowledge that you have. Believers have discernment, and that is a big deal. You can see and understand things about yourself, your sin nature. That's a huge deal. No one even knows themselves. No one even knows why they do things. No one knows why they're failing, why they're making bad decisions. You do. That's a huge part of it. You can also make decisions about people. And I don't mean in a judgmental way. I mean in a discerning way. In a discerning way. That is huge. That is huge. Because the Holy Spirit gives you something that allows you to not only be sober, but be on the alert when it comes to anything that is off, outside of the truth and the will of God. When you're in tune with what God desires, you're also in tune with what He doesn't desire and what He is against, opposed to. Why? Because you're opposed to it too. You're on the same page. You're on the same page as Him. So, alert, that's a good thing. That's an awesome thing. We want to be able to make those decisions from a position of strength. That's the Holy Spirit all the way, isn't it? Alertness. You have to be awake. You have to watch. You have to know, instead of just stumbling around in life and just blinded. We've got way too much of that going on. So, as you can imagine, Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So what is he looking for? Well, he's looking for an unsuspecting victim, right? I mean, it's just like the lion. Doesn't matter if it's a baby. Doesn't matter if it's a mom, just had a baby. Doesn't matter if it's a pregnant mom. It doesn't matter. None of that's there. Emotion's gone, right? What matters is the opportunity to attack. That's the only thing that matters to a lion. He's hungry. My belly's telling me I'm hungry. Let's fix that problem. That's the only... See, lust, flesh. It's all flesh, right? Of course, the lion, well, whatever. Satan is looking for an opportunity. And he's apparently prowling around. Prowling around. So your enemy is prowling around. But that's why this is connected to firm in your faith. Firm in your faith. Firm in your faith. This word means to be steadfast, to be constant, to be unwavering in your spiritual life. Wow. And the best part about this is, look what it said. When we do this, when we are constant, when we are firm in our faith, look what happens. He will flee. I love that. He'll flee from you. It doesn't just say he's going to walk away. It doesn't just say he's going to avoid you. It says flee. This is good. Satan should come listen to this one. The word here is fuego. When I first saw this, I thought fire. That's the Spanish version, right? This is Greek. It means to seek safety in flight. It means to elude or avoid something because of its potential damage. Think about that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Doesn't that come to mind at this point? It certainly does. Satan is running the other direction because he's scared of damage. That's what he's doing. He wants nothing to do with the spiritual firm believer in their faith. The believer who is growing, is constant, is on the move, who is avoiding distractions in their life and staying true to the growth that they know we should continue in. Doesn't want to have nothing to do with it. When Satan sees someone, fully dressed in the armor of God, why the heck would he want to mess with them? It's always interesting, big bad Satan, it kind of reminds me of Oz, in the Wizard of Oz. You think he's this big, scary guy, and then all of a sudden the curtain goes aside and it's this, old man pulling these switches, and that's kind of like Satan, isn't it? He wants to tell us that he's the big, bad, scary, powerful, God of this world, but yet he's going to run from the believer who is firing on all cylinders in their spiritual life. Run. So, there you go. Can't avoid the truth, can he? Nope. It's right here. So, he goes out of his way to avoid people like this, and it actually says to move very, very quickly, to flee. And you might say, well, why does he do that? Well, yes, it is because the believer is submitting to God, but it's not because of the believer. It's because of God. It's because of God in you. It's because you've chosen to take advantage of God inside you, and that is the most powerful thing you could ever do. He's fearful of God. And so when God is in full function inside you, guess what he's fearful of? You. I want to show you these verses because they go right along with what we're talking about. Deuteronomy 1:30, the Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. Now, I'm going to read two more verses and try to just see what's similar in all these verses, okay? Deuteronomy 24, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Okay? And then here's the third one. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. It's like we get all ready to go. We want to do something. We want to jump out there. And then God says, nope, have a seat. Did you notice the similarities in here? He says he's going to not fight alongside you. He says for you. For you. No wonder Satan is scared. No wonder Satan is... It's not you that's going to defend yourself or offend yourself against Satan. It's God who's the one who's going to do it on your behalf. For you. He'll fight for you. And it even gets even more clear when you said the Lord will not only fight for you, but you need only to be still. Do nothing. Do nothing. This is a spiritual conflict. Spiritual conflict. I don't mean you need to go hide in a closet either, but I think you get the point. This is a spiritual do nothing. This is a faith do nothing. This is a let's trust in God and watch Him do the work and the fight and do nothing. That's what this is. So Satan's aware of this. He's seen it for thousands of years. He's watched God work. He knows that He's more powerful, and He knows His position in comparison to God. He's not dumb. He's not dumb. And that's what you have inside of you. Inside of you. But, it's kind of like anything else that we've been talking about in the Scripture. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. So many people think, oh, just because I believed in Christ, that everything the Scripture talks about, all the benefits are automatic. Well, this is one of those benefits. The Lord will fight on your behalf. But guess what? Look at this. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. You notice there's a step right here. There's a submitting to God that goes along with this. I'm not saying we have to vocally say anything, but we do have to spiritually say something in our soul. We have to say, God, I need you. We have to say, God, I need to confess. I need to grow. I need to be obedient to your word. And you know what? Part of the crying out is acknowledging his authority and realizing that he's the only one that can help you. Without that part, that's faith. Crying out is the faith part. That's what this is. So the enemy is not automatically going to flee. That's not an automatic. Yes, you are a believer. Yes, you have the capability to make him flee, but you got to recognize the power, and you have to take advantage of the armor. When you don't take advantage of the armor, if you want to leave all that in the closet, you got God on your side, but you've told him to take a break. Sounds like a really dangerous place to be, doesn't it? We do it. We do it. I would say there's an initiative here that God's already taken the initiative. He's given you his spirit. In the circumstance, though, you do have to do something to initialize the process. Besides being your flesh, being the sin nature, and just, spiritually drunk, as the Scripture describes it. You have to be, at least put some effort in as far as, being alert and what to recognize in your life. So many times we don't do this. And you have to ask, what are we waiting on? When we don't go to God, when we don't cry out to God, when we don't make our requests known to Him. That's a command, by the way. We're dealing with all these problems, I can't handle them, they're just burdening me, and we hadn't cried out to God. Well, sure you are. Of course you're not handling those problems. Of course things are popping at the seams. You can't handle life. It's overbearing, overburdening. Of course it is. Why? You're not crying out. That's why. You're not going to the source. So let's move to verse 8, because I think submit to God and resist the devil is just the kind of an overview of what we're seeing here. Verse 8. draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So remember, there's a lot of commands in the in these section of verses, right? Three commands here. Three in one verse. Here's the first one. Egizo. Draw near. This means just what it says. It means to draw near, come closer. And it's often used in Scripture to express extreme closeness. Extreme closeness. Well, this is a command. So we already have the submit. We already have the to be on the alert. And we know where all the solutions are, but we have to, you know, reach for those, right? So here we have the command to draw near to God. And let me read you a verse that uses this same word. It's a little bit different translation, but I think you can understand how close we're talking about. This is Matthew 26:45. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is," here's our word, "at hand. And the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands," well, that got cut off, "of his enemies." But you get the point. This is talking about something that was about to take place right after this point. Right after this point. So when we're talking about drawing near to God, we have a command to do that. This is, I think, a good example of the closeness that we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to. You're moving to that direction. So, number one, I would say this involves seeking fellowship with God first. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, fellowship with God. And also, notice what this verse is bringing up about drawing near or the closeness of something happening. This is important. There's a time element involved. There's a time element involved. That's huge. That is huge. It's not just drawing near, you know, in a kind of a nebulous way, kind of a free-floating way. It's not just going from point A to point B, drawing near in that way. It's a very quick way. The sooner, the better. We're talking about Satan. We're talking about taking opportunities. We're talking about being vulnerable to attack. We're talking about a firm, a rooted believer in his faith. Guess what comes into play? Time. The quicker, the sooner, the better. The sooner you can get in fellowship, the sooner you can go to God in confession and prayer and the Word, the sooner you can do that, the better. I mean, time is really of the essence. It really is. It really, really is. The longer we're out of fellowship with God, guess what? The longer you have to endure the destructive effects of the sin nature and the vulnerability that you place yourself in to the world. So who wants to do that? So I think this is clear that there is a time aspect of drawing near. Otherwise, we're bringing on ourselves divine discipline. The funny part is, divine discipline tends to draw people near to God. It does. So what God is telling us, if you don't do it, He's going to do it just in a different way. And that's not the greater grace of humility that we were talking about earlier. Drawing near, God is going to jerk you near through divine discipline when we say, "I'm good. I'm okay out here," right? And by the way, that's not out of convenience. That's out of necessity. Necessity. And I would say for us as what we've seen today and all these things, these commands after command, I would say don't look at it in an overwhelming way, because I think consistency in your spiritual life solves a lot of these problems. It really does. Just being consistent, just showing up, just having your personal Bible study every day, having your prayer life intact, having making sure you're walking in the Spirit on a consistent basis. That's what showing up is all about, and submitting to God is all about. See, the first part of this really gave us an overview of what we're talking about, the details. Submit to God and resist Satan. Okay, that's the big picture. Well, now we're getting down to what we're to do within that bigger picture. Draw near to God. What does that look like? All the things I just mentioned. Bible study, prayer, fellowship. All these things are drawing near to God, right? Because He wants to work in you. He wants to work in your life. He wants to rule your life. He wants to be the authority in your life. But you got to let Him. You have to let Him. Consistency. And I think that gives you also the discernment to see what? When you're out of fellowship. That's important. Half of the people don't even know what fellowship is, don't know what sin is. So how are you gonna recognize when you're in sin? When we've justified it, this is okay, right? If I just stay out till 1:30, it's okay, right? Instead of 2 or 3, 4, whatever. But we have funny ways of justifying things in our mind, right? This is a little less toned down version of it, but it's at the end of the day, it's still out of fellowship and in sin. So submit to God, resist the devil. And I need to mention this again, because this is a moment by moment thing that we have to do each and every day. You're under attack constantly. You're going to deal with your sin nature when you walk out of this building. You're going to deal with your sin nature in this building. You're going to have to bite your tongue. You're going to have to not say something you should have or you could have said. The sin nature wants to do things, and you're going to have to resist those things. So guess what that requires? Drawing near, not just in church, but when you get out of the church. That's when everybody stops. They take off the church hat and they put on their world hat when they get out of the church. They draw near to the church in the church, but then they draw near to the world when they're in the world. Like, what is that? It's called a hypocrite, by the way. It's called a Christian on Sundays and not a Christian on Monday through Saturday. That's what that's called. We got plenty of those. We don't need any more. Please. But all this is saying is go to the solution. Just go to the solution in your life. And not the problem. It's funny how we like to stay in the problems. Stay in the problems. If the problem in your life is gossip, stop gossiping. If the problem in your life is some other lust thing that you keep gravitating to, stop doing it. I mean, there's no other really way to say that, is there? Resisting includes your volition. Strengthen our faith. Drawing near to Him. So anyways, I think that's a good place to stop, but you can see how this, it always gets better. It always gets better because look, if you try, guess who else is going to try? He's going to come to you. If you take initiative, He's there. He's there. This is not just you going to Him. This is running to each other. That's the awesome part. It's not like it's a whole lot of effort. You got to do all these A, B, C, D. No, draw near. That can mean a lot of things. That can mean one decision. That can mean changing something you do in your life. That can mean spending more time in the Word. That can mean anything, drawing near. But what I'm telling you is, when you do that, God is going to meet you right there. He's going to meet you. So that's encouraging, right? He's going to do the exact same thing. And I would say He's already there. But in order to make those things a reality, he needs to send nature cleared out of the way. He needs to send nature cleared out of the way. You've got some things we need to do when it comes to the sin nature to let God do his work, right? So, sure, he's going to draw near. Yes, the scripture is not telling us something false. But in order to do that, you've got to do it what you need to do, right? When it comes to the sin nature and drawing near, growing. So with that being said, I guess we'll stop there. But second session is always a little bit harder. But that's okay. We're to the end of it. So next time we'll come and we'll pick back up with this, and he will draw near to you. So it's up. It's on a positive note. I think all this is positive, actually. There's nothing nothing here except you sinners and you double-minded. Well, we know that. We know what we are. We just need to hear it again in a different way sometimes. So anyways, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to see the truth, to know what we should be doing, to know the things that we're not doing, and to recognize ourselves more and more as we go down this road, and to know that you not only initiated this process, but you loved us enough to let us in on it and to allow us to live for all eternity in a relationship with you. And it starts here. It starts now. It starts while we're on this earth. It starts at the moment we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Your scripture tells us if we believe in him, we are eternally secure and saved for all of eternity. And that starts while we're here. It's available to anyone. It's not of our works. It's not of anything we can do or say. It's of what we believe. It's by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. We thank you for the opportunity, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.